read from Holy Scripture, Philippians 4, the fourth and last chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is the Word of God. And we call your attention to verses 11 through 13, where the apostle makes this amazing confession. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That the world in which we live is motivated by covetousness and characterized by covetousness goes without saying. Covetousness is that sin of lusting after that which God has not granted and always wanting more. And in his deepest heart, sinful man is covetous, and it matters not what his life's circumstances happen to be. Always he is unsatisfied, and always he wants more. And covetousness lies at the root of all the horror of history and today's modern life. The drugs and the crime and the wars and the rumors of war, the threat of terrorism and the gross immorality and unmentionable manifestations of the reprobate mind that characterize life in the 21st century. Big business, unionism, the mad pursuit of pleasure, all of this and more is born of covetousness. Further, that the believer retains much of this evil of covetousness is obvious from the many warnings against it in Scripture. You must not think that the message of the Word of God tonight has little to do with us, ourselves, and our sin and our weaknesses in this regard, that it has to do only with the world, for example. No, Jesus spoke of this often. Labor not, said our Lord, for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures to everlasting life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and do not be anxious for food or drink or clothing. And that command is interesting indeed. Seek first really means do not set your hearts on the things the world seeks. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, Jesus told us, there will your heart be also. And a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. The Savior also taught us to take no thought for the morrow, and to pray for bread for one day. Literally, he said with that command, do not be anxious, don't worry about tomorrow. Pray for bread for one day. The inspired apostles echo the words of Jesus. Trust not in uncertain riches, but in the living God. The love of money is the root of all evil. Let your conversation, your daily living, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. And then there's the confession of the Holy Apostle, which we consider this evening. In the context, Paul expresses his thanks and his deep appreciation to the saints in Philippi. Paul is a prisoner in Rome, and somehow they sent him a gift for which he now thanks them. But the apostle hastens to add, not that I speak in respect of want or lack. The apostle does not regard himself as lacking anything, as poor, and that is striking indeed. He's a prisoner. He's bound in Rome and likely facing death by execution. And yet, he writes, he does not speak in respect of want or poverty. And he gives the reason in the text we consider tonight. I have no lack, for because I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What a wonderful affirmation. What a beautiful and powerful confession. Is it ours? That's the question we need to face and answer before God tonight. Content everywhere and in all things. That's the subject or message of these verses. Let's consider together what this means and how this contentment is attained and how it is possible to be content everywhere and in all things. Obviously, to be content is the very opposite of covetousness. And that points us to a truth that lies as the fundamental theme, or at least part of the basic motif that runs through all of Scripture, beginning to end. The very thing, the very truth that made necessary the formation of our churches by the grace of God some 80 years plus ago in 24 and 1925. What is that? That's the antithesis. Covetousness is the exact opposite of contentment. Contentment is the truth that stands over against and in contradiction of covetousness, the lie, as it applies to our daily living. Covetousness is the sin of lusting after mere earthly things as ends in themselves and not as means with which to serve the Lord. Covetousness is the evil of satisfying oneself rather than denying oneself in the service of God and as a follower of the Lord Jesus. Covetousness is to be self-indulgent, and depraved man, fallen man, apart from grace, is covetous. It makes no difference what his circumstances happen to be, whether he's living on South Division Avenue, a person of the street in Grand Rapids, or whether he is in a gated community on the east side and filthy rich, whether he's barely existing, whether he's healthy or sick, always man apart from grace wants more. More money, a bigger and better house, more leisure, more pleasure. He lives in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes as moved by the pride of life. To be content is to be perfectly satisfied with one's lot and circumstances in life. It is to say, I have enough. I have no lack. My needs are met. It's to confess God is always good. His way with us is all wise and perfect, a way which never fails to lead us to glory. To be content is to say, all is well with me. And it is to say still more, thanks, Lord. Note well, the apostle's confession is all-inclusive. He doesn't qualify it, not in the least. I'm content in whatsoever state I am. And literally, that could be translated in what things or circumstances I am. Doesn't make any difference. I'm content. In verse 12, he explains precisely what he means. Everywhere and in all things, in any and all circumstances, I am instructed to be content. I say again, that's all inclusive. Whether rich or poor, healthy or sick, free or in prison, in any and all circumstances, I am content. Is that our confession? Can you and I say that? In whatsoever state I am, in any and all circumstances, everywhere and in all things, without any exceptions whatsoever, I am content. Listen to the apostle explain himself. I know how to be abased. Mind you, to be abased is to be brought low. It's to be reduced to mean circumstances. It's to be humbled and considered to be of no account, the very scum of society. And Paul experienced that. He was content in that state. He didn't rebel when he was abased. He didn't complain. I am content. I'm satisfied. I have enough. Thy way, Lord, with me is good. My trust is in thee. Again, do we know how to be abased? And Paul says, I know how to abound. To abound is to overflow with an abundance. Abounding, that's affluence, wealth. It's to have far more than one needs. In this state as well, the apostle says, I've learned to be content. Do we know how to abound? And the apostle emphasizes this. It's as if he puts it in bold print and underscores it. I know how to be full and I know how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need or lack of the necessities of life. And Paul experienced it all. There were times in his life when he did abound, when he prospered and enjoyed prestige, when he had plenty. There were many more times when he suffered need and was abased and brought very, very low. Think of all the persecutions he endured. Singing psalms in the night with his hands and feet in the stocks with his co-laborer Silas in the dungeon of a prison. When he writes these very words, as we noted already, he's a prisoner in Rome. Yes, he was free to be up and about, but for all of that, he was a prisoner. Weariness he experienced, cold, nakedness, shipwreck, hunger, thirst. In all of these circumstances, the apostle was content. He never complained. He never rebelled. He simply trusted in God's goodness and God's gracious care. Can we make that same confession? Are we too content in any and all circumstances? Really, people of God, what this all comes down to is there are two circumstances in life: adversity, prosperity. Just two. Adversity is to suffer need, to be abased, to be hungry, persecuted, sick, cast into sorrow, dying. It's the discouragements and troubles of life, the struggles. And there are two spiritual reactions or attitudes toward adversity: that of unbelief and that of faith. Unbelief, or the attitude of the ungodly, may assume a variety of forms. It may be, for example, a stoic acceptance. There are people like that outside of the church. Well, whatever is, is. I can't change things. I'll just have to take the bitter with the sweet. Or it's defiance in the face of God. Shaking one's fist in God's face. Some might get depressed and everything is bleak and black. Discouragement. And then they get anxious and there's grief and even hysteria. Others openly rebel, like Job's wife who advised him, why don't you just curse God and die sitting there, sackcloth and ashes? Took everything from you, God did. What good is it to serve the Lord? All of this stands in stark contrast to being content in adversity. The Christian doesn't complain. He doesn't rebel. He doesn't merely accept whatever comes his way. He's satisfied. All is well because he knows God's grace is sufficient for every need. And he knows not only that God sends all these things, but God sends them in his everlasting, unchanging love and tender mercy, causing everything he sends to work together for our good and our salvation. Then there's prosperity. That's abounding. Health, strength, having an abundance of this world's goods. And again, the attitude of the ungodly can take on all kinds of forms and be manifest in all kinds of ways. He's proud, he's boastful. Look at my achievements. Look at what I've accomplished by my brains and hard work. He seeks the praise of men and he lusts for more. More wealth. More prestige, more power, more pleasure. Always there's the insatiable desire for more of everything. The Christian is content in prosperity. He's thankful, and he never forgets that all that he has and is are from the Lord. And he acknowledges God as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And there's no boasting in himself. Being content implies as well godly, faithful stewardship of the abundance that God gives. And here, we'd better have our ears wide open. With our good health, with our freedom, and yes, things are tough, a bit tough nowadays. The building industry and its related industries, the automobile industry, I know all that too. The people of God, we've got it mighty good and a whole lot better than most of our parents ever thought of having it. We'd better be setting our hearts on the kingdom of God and his righteousness and pressing our resources into thankful service to God and his church and his cause. How is that contentment attained? Listen to the apostle. He speaks under the inspiration of the Spirit. I have learned to be content. I've learned that. Contentment is something we must learn, and we never stop learning. It's a life long process. And having learned, the apostle can say, I know how to be abased and how to abound. I know how to be hungry and to be full. I know how to suffer want. He knew all of this. How did Paul know this? He says in verse 12, I am instructed. That's a powerful concept, beautiful concept too. I was taught the secret or the mystery. That's the Greek. And mystery in Scripture doesn't mean something is unknowable. When the Bible speaks, for example, of the mystery of the gospel, it's not talking about something that cannot be known. The mystery of the gospel can be known, oh yes, but only by faith. And faith is God's gift of grace. Ephesians 2:8. God must open our eyes to see. God must open our hearts to believe and our minds to understand. And only when God does that do we know the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. And this means that contentment, people of God, is one of the blessings of salvation, given only and always by grace. A blessing impossible to merit by us. A blessing merited for us by Jesus on the cross. What is that mystery? What is that secret? Just this, it's to know that all of our life circumstances, what we call good, but also the bad, the joys, but also the sorrows, the good times, the bad too, all these circumstances come not by chance, as the Catechism puts it, but from God's fatherly hand, for Jesus' sake. That's the secret of being content. All circumstances are sent by God according to His wise counsel. God determines them all for each of us out of His love for us in Christ Jesus. And therefore, they are all steps that lead us into His presence where there is fullness of joy. We sing of that, don't we? My life, in all its perfect plan, was ordered ere my days began. Has God taught you that secret? Have you learned to be content in whatsoever state you are? Do you know how to be abased and brought low? Do you know how to abound? Do you know how to be hungry and how to be full and how to suffer want? Are we content in any and all circumstances? Oh, that's easy when things are going relatively well with us. When we have peace and plenty of money, when we and our children are healthy and strong, when we're able to enjoy life and not only some, but perhaps many of its finer things, then it's easy to say, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But what about when those adverse circumstances occur in our lives? When we have to struggle to make ends meet, when we can hardly pay the bills which come every month and never cease, when we have thousands of dollars of tuition to pay for Christian education, or when God lays us on a sick bed, or the doctor walks into the hospital room after you've been through an MRI and says, I'm sorry, Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, but you have cancer and only a few weeks or months, maybe a year, to live. Can you do that when your pain is a daily reality in your life, or when your life circumstances come down to a bed, just a bed in a nursing home, and you languish all confused and mixed up and sick and dying? Can you be content when God takes your dear wife or your beloved husband from your side? Day after day and night after night, you are alone. Can you say then, thanks, Lord, I have no lack, I'm content. Thy way is good, I'm satisfied. Or when you have to, as I've witnessed as a pastor, more than once, when you have to watch your child suffer and die, or when God suddenly snatches your child through what we call an accident. I am content. I'm satisfied. You say, I can't do that. That's impossible. Listen to the word of God. I can do all things. What? Through my own strength, with my own gifts, my own ingenuity, or whatever it might be? No, no, no. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And again, there's no exception here. Paul doesn't say I can do some things or many things or most things. I can do all things. And he lays emphasis on it. That occurs at the beginning of his sentence. All things I can do. That's the word order. And I can do them. I have power. I have strength. And so I'm able to do all things. I'm able to be content in whatever state I am and in all circumstances. And I can do those things through Christ. Never in my own strength. I don't have any strength. Only in Christ. Christ who strengthens me. Christ who loved me unto the death of the cross. Christ, who was raised on account of my justification. Christ, who is exalted at the Father's right hand in glory, whose is all the power, and who executes right down to the minutest detail all of God's eternal counsel. Through Christ, who is my merciful high priest, constantly bringing my needs to the throne of grace with his perfect prayer, who is touched with the feeling of my infirmities, tempted as I, yet without sin. Christ, who strengthens me, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, and Christ infuses me with power. He pours his power into me. And that's the divine, almighty power of God's grace. Gracious, merciful power that enables me to do all things and to be content in any and all circumstances. How does Christ do that? He does it through the preaching of the word. That's why we come to church on Sunday twice. He confirms it by the use of the sacraments. He speaks to us, and he shows us in the sacraments the secret of contentment. He leads us every step of the way. He teaches us the secret. Governs us through the elders of the church. Christ does that. He keeps us in his care. He provides for us through the deacons of the church when we're in need, widows and widowers. He pours that power into me when I take up his word in my hand and read it with my family and in private. Prayerfully meditating and pondering and thinking, as the apostle wrote in the chapter we read, thinking on those beautiful things of his word. He pours that power into me. He does that through godly parents, through Christian school teachers, when they teach me God's fear. And by that mighty power alone, I'm able to do all things. And I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. That's Paul's marvelous confession. Is it yours? Yes, it is. I am able, we too say with the holy apostle, I am able to be content in all things, through Christ, who strengthens me, pouring his power into me. Have thine own way, Lord. I'm content. Thanks. Amen. Lord, bless this thy word to our hearts and lives, and grant that this confession, bound upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit of Christ, may be put into the opening of our mouths, and that in any and all circumstances, we too, with the Holy Apostle, may be able to say through Christ who strengthens us, I am content in any and all circumstances for Jesus' sake. Amen.